Hey, grandkids, welcome to, well, I guess another special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. This is a preview of Resolution 4 Overdrive, and with me at this time is, well, someone who's becoming a familiar voice around these parts, Mr. Dan Keister, also known as Zoo-Ra. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, doing real well, Kevin. Just listened to the Aaron McGuire interview, which, if anyone is listening to this and hasn't listened to that, I hate to run you off, but you probably want to give that a listen because extremely entertaining, good work on your part, and, you know, he did a nice, as you would expect Aaron McGuire from PWO TV to preview the matches, he kind of did it that way, but really good stuff and kind of got me ready to do this audio and excited to be back on the air. It's kind of nice during the summer when I have time to do more of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how Aaron McGuire filled in all the time last time because I've practically done one by myself with someone else asking me similar questions to what I asked Aaron last night. And it gets a little tiresome sometimes on the vocal cords. And he was far more entertaining than I in that situation.
No, and we were talking about this before we started recording. I mean, he clearly patterns himself after Bobby Heenan and his character and the way he presents himself. And there are a lot of people that try to do that, but he's extremely entertaining and just hilarious. I mean, that is a really funny hour to listen to him. And, you know, when they did, I guess, earlier this year when they were building up to the four-way match, which turned out to not be a four-way match, they'd lost some of their bookings, and so they did a lot of these preview shows. And when Aaron McGuire was on those, it was really worth watching because the guy is just can fill time and be incredibly entertaining, and it's a really, really good listen. And as I mentioned, PWO is a show that I watch pretty regularly on my U-verse that I have, and if it weren't for your stunt granny here and the audios and the reviews you've been doing, I probably would have never known about that. And so I've become enough of a fan where I'm coming out to go to Resolution with you and excited about that. I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I'll talk about the match I'm most looking forward to, and I suspect it's the same one that you are, and I think is worth the trip to see this kind of stuff. And I just had a great trip to Waterloo with Eric at the Hall of Fame, and so we're kind of making the rounds on these things that are in the Stunt Granny wheelhouse and are covered really well by this site.
Yes, well, speaking of coverage, we after all the yapping, I think we can get the coverage of the actual card here. And we'll start at the bottom of the list here. Cursed, formerly known as Eric Ryan, against his former partner, Corey Winters. Do you, going back to before the audio, you said you didn't have much on this one. And,
I
can understand why.
This one kind of came out of left field. I mean, Kirst had been off of TV for a while, and he just showed up here the last couple of weeks, and they built up to this match, and of course they had, at one point they were kind of building up a feud between these two guys, and then it was kind of dropped, and of course with these types of television programs that does happen. I guess we should mention for those that don't know, I think everyone probably knows that's interested enough to listen to this audio by now, but this event is this coming Sunday, I believe at 3 p.m. Eastern time, if I'm not mistaken, and people can watch this on the Go Fight Live internet pay-per-view. And this is a really well-booked promotion and one that makes a lot of sense from a fan perspective. And as I mentioned, that's why I started watching was through your reviews. And then I realized it was a really nice, easy-to-follow product. It kind of replaced what I used to watch was the old Ohio Valley stuff when Jim Cornette booked it. And it's just kind of nice. I mean, some of these guys are less experienced than others, but it really is a good product. I guess I'll make a quick prediction, if that's okay, on this match. I am just going to predict that Kirst wins this match because I think the idea that the followers of Crimson are getting all the power in PWO makes for a really good story, and it would make sense from that perspective to have, even though it's the opening act, and have the bad guy win. That's my guess. And I honestly, both these guys, from as far as I can tell, are adequate, but neither one of them have really stood out to me, so I can't say a whole lot about them as wrestlers slash performers. But I'm picking Kirst for just simple kind of booking 102
purpose.
I guess.
Yeah, no, I think that he's going to win. And I thought Ryan was getting better in the ring before he left. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here, because Corey Winters just really hasn't gotten that much TV time on. And I'd imagine that they're both doing a little bit of work outside of Pro Wrestling Ohio, and that's why they've been gone. So, yeah, no, it'll be it should be a fun match. It did have a – because I think the team broke up last year because that was Kirst was Crimson's first recruit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he was even – I think he was on maybe the first couple episodes or the first set episodes, maybe the first four or something. But, yeah, it hasn't been on since.
Yeah,
so,
at one point
it,
this was building pretty good momentum to a big feud-type match, and it kind of – I'd kind of forgotten about it, to be honest, and now they're picking it back up, which is good, and it's the opening match. So I certainly don't have a problem with it being on the show, but – it probably had more storyline momentum a few months ago.
Oh, definitely. Well, that and it probably would have helped if they didn't have a snowstorm to help kill a bunch of their storylines, too.
Yeah.
Or at least slow them down. Okay, we both go with Kirst there. And for all we know, too, we don't even know if they're going to be in this order or not. So, I mean, it might not be a curtain jerker that heel wins. He'd be another match involved here. But this match, I would not think, will be a curtain jerker, which is Portia Perez versus Veda Scott. And, yeah, I think everybody knows about as much about Veda Scott as we learned on the the aforementioned Aaron McGuire.
Aaron McGuire is either taking some fictional liberties or has been stalking young Miss Scott, I think. He knew quite a bit about her background as a tutor and all the wonderful things that she had done. So, again, that's I learned a lot from Mr. McGuire. We'll see how much of it. Sometimes he's been known for hyperbole. So we'll see whether all that is true or not. But, yes, it's actually on the PWO, the Resolution, the old WWF style event centers, they had at first were just saying, you know, Portia Perez will be wrestling, and they didn't mention her opponent, which gives you a little idea of where this, why this is on the card, I guess.
Yeah, well, they I think he even mentioned it too, but they hadn't had pretty much any women on the program. Like, they didn't even – they had a valet for Sex Appeal the first couple of sets of episodes, but after that, it was gone. Like, it's been a little strange and kind of good, really, in a way, that they haven't tried to push a women's storyline, because they just haven't had any luck keeping them around for any length of time, really.
Right, and Portia Perez is – you know, I think has a bit of a following there and has been on, you know, previous Resolutions and other events. And, you know, about a year ago, I guess at this time, or I'd say maybe before Resolution 3, I'm trying to recall, she was doing the Doc Monstrous character. And I think that was a way for her to be on the shows, and they didn't have other women that were capable of wrestling her. But that never really went – it was – you know, I don't know. It was what it was, but
No, it was to for me. It was a bad hokey. You know, there's I'm fine with hockey, but you know, sometimes it's just not that good. And as you pointed out, without having any other women there really for her to wrestle, you know, it's tough. I mean, I think she's a good wrestler. From what I've seen, she's a good wrestler. So it kind of sucks that they haven't been able to consistently keep something there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, her and, what was it? I think it was her and Haley Hatred. Oh, shit, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, because that was before I started watching. I mean, basically, the stuff I've seen with her has been, you know, she was wrestling for a week or two, and then, oh, this Doc Monstrous is coming in, and yeah, it was not. I didn't find it humorous, but it was an effort to keep her involved, I think. So, yeah, I did not see the match 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, and I think she had a pretty solid, because I think she had a, like a regular women's match last year, and I have neglected to pull up any type of information on that, so screw it. I'm not really going to worry about it.
Okay. I mean, the history is...
it's not that important, honestly.
Okay, yeah, but no, I mean, I think that she has a lot to offer, and I think it adds to the card that she's on there.
Yeah, yeah, and as I stated in my review, she has a fantastic hiney. So I
she's a cute girl. No, there's no question. It's
I will not be disappointed.
Yeah, I'm. I will not mind going to watch young Miss Perez in the match. So.
Hey, alrighty then. I think we can go ahead and, you know, just like in any other organization, women's wrestling is, you know, a backseat. So
we both clearly think she's going to win, and we'll go from there. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I always try to move on with the predictions, even with Jeremy. It's a bad habit. okay, next match we have is Bobby Shields versus Ben Fruth. Wow. What can I really say about this matchup? It, to me, it's actually a bit of a waste of Bobby Shields' talents that have come to the forefront after he started attending Taz's wrestling classes.
I think he's one of the most talented guys in the company. Yeah, I like really, I think there's a lot in that sex appeal faction that's pretty good, and he certainly you know, holds his own in that group. And I was going to say, in my opinion, that this is one of the most talented guys in the company against one of the not quite as talented guys in the company. So there you go. That's the match, and there is a story. That's the thing, again, as I mentioned, with PWO, almost everything on the card, I mean, this Portia Perez match is kind of thrown in there, but most everything else will have a story that if you really want the nuts and bolts of it, listen to Aaron McGuire. Some of it might be fiction, but it was a really good description. And Ben Fruth won this WrestleRama trophy a few months ago, and Bobby Shields stole it. So that's the storyline.
Yeah, no, they, of all the things, I even think I put that in my final review, is that even if I didn't like some of the stuff that was going on, it was all logical buildup.
Yeah.
So it's hard to argue with how they're presenting things. Like, they didn't just pull shit out of their ass and just go, oh, you know, here's the match. Well, I mean, even with the Cursed and Corey Winter's match, even though that kind of got pulled out of your ass, at least there's a backstory to it.
Right.
So it's, yes. And they did have a bit of a problem. Shields has been wrestling over in England, so they couldn't really use him in any of the later stages here to help promote this thing. And Fruth. Well, yeah, when you talk body type, when someone's 6 foot and weighing 125, it's tough to get behind them one way or the other.
Yeah. So why don't you give us your prediction, unless there's more we need to say about this match. I, I suppose we err on the side sometimes of going along with these things, so I guess if we're moving along, it probably isn't going to upset our listenership too much.
Yeah, no, plus it's probably good to keep the undercard matches shorter than the other matches that we're sure to talk longer about.
Yeah.
I honestly don't see a reason why Bobby Shields shouldn't win. Like, I know that we've predicted, well, that now I've predicted, I guess, two heels to win, but they've got to win somewhere on the card, and I think that this is a good spot for it to happen.
Okay, well, I'm gonna be a contrarian here. I predict that Ben Fruth is gonna win. Just from the announcing, the Joe Dombrowski's announcing, they really again seem to act like every time Ben Fruth wins, which is how it should be. I mean, if you're gonna push somebody, you don't want to push them halfway. But that it's this really great thing, and everybody's so excited, and the crowd's going nuts. And again, some of these storylines are more appealing to the kids and things like that. And I think if I was in charge, I would keep building Bobby Shields, because I think he could be a future champion of the organization. So you may turn out to be right, but every time I see Ben Fruth win, I kind of shake my head, to be honest. It's not the Mikey Whipwreck to me. Now, they're going to talk about, we'll talk in the next match about this Castle, Brian Castle, I forget his first name, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that is correct. And you may as well, that's a nice segue, keep on going.
No, he's got really good comedic timing, and I find, and it's not because he's a bigger guy than Fruth, I find him much more entertaining doing what's basically the same character, which is, for those that don't know, Ben Fruth was abused and picked on by the Sons of Michigan for all this time before he finally broke free and had the help of the Homeless Handicap Connection, and they're his big buddies. And, Castle was kind of getting the same type of treatment. But I find him much more entertaining myself than Ben Fruth. But despite that, I'll pick Fruth to win that other match. And then that does lead in, I'll go ahead and do one intro here, into the four-way elimination style, which I think is very good that they're going to have the final team outlast the other three teams. The PWO Tag Team Title Match, the Sons of Michigan, Amazing Nate Mattson and Big Bear Benjamin Boone, against the team of Bender and Castle, and then Aeriform and the Homeless Handicap Connection. And so four-way match for the PWO titles, and they've had a lot of back and forth between the various teams where they all have some dispute with one another.
Yes, they do. And, Matt, the Sons of Michigan beat the Homeless Handicap Connection for the belt, so that's an easy tie. And Sons of Michigan have also been picking on Brian Castle and his favorite bandana recently, so there's an easy tie-in there.
And again,
and then,
that storyline, I don't mean to interrupt you, Kevin, I'm sorry, but that's obviously a pretty silly storyline. We talked about some of the other silly storylines, but I think it's executed well. I find it funny. I think it's entertaining, the stuff with Brian Castle trying to get his headband. Now, this Brian Bender, who kind of took him under his wing as his partner, at first was kind of disrespectful of Castle, and it's a little odd that they're a team in this regard to me, but, it kind of still makes sense, so that's fine.
Yeah, no, he definitely didn't mistreat him. To me, he didn't mistreat him as much as
trying to toughen him up.
Yeah, to me it was more of a trying to toughen him up and try to get him to, he's like, man, you can be happy and all that good crap, but you've got to be mean in the ring. And he, to me, I guess that wasn't really a bad way to go about things.
He was more hard-edged to him than the Homeless Handicap Connection, who were trying to be.
Who are just.
Contrast comes from.
Yeah, they're just kind of saps. So, and shit, I had completely forgotten that he was with them for a little bit at least.
Right, that's where the transition came, and And, you know, from a storyline perspective, he's better off with Bender because he is, you know, treating him more like somebody that needs to man up, for lack of a better word. So it all kind of makes sense here. But this is a tough match to call. Aaron McGuire mentioned that in his preview. Had a good line that, you know, he had a few politically incorrect lines that were extremely humorous, and he had one here at Greg Iron's expense, which I'll let people listen to for themselves. But, of course, Greg Iron was highlighted in the recent kind of video that went viral with CM Punk and Colt Cabana, and is a good wrestler. I mean, I've enjoyed watching him in the past in PWO. I had not realized I bought the Colt Cabana video when we were up there in Iowa and watched, you know, this Wrestling Road Diaries, which has some of these other AIW shows, and I guess he's been on there for quite a while. But I wasn't aware of that until recently. But, yeah, I think he's a pretty talented guy. I really like the Sons of Michigan. I think they're – Nate Mattson's a good interview. Ben Boone, I think, is a really good wrestler. I really enjoy watching those guys. And then you have Aeriform, who's – really, these last, and they've kept their interviews short on PWO TV, but they've really been smoking their interviews and their character development and their wrestling, I think, has come a long way in just the past 3 or 4 months. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Their interviews, definitely. Their wrestling still, well, they're another one that I believe they've been, maybe not out of country, but they didn't wrestle in the last set of tapings.
Okay.
And they can pull a lot of stuff off, and they kind of have a cool style for the most part because it's a little bit different because it is a little more, you know, let's say Bruce Lee inspired, even though, you know, whatever, it's a disrespect to him, but, you know.
Well, inspired. If it's inspired, it's not.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's true. So and they're high flying, and I don't know if it's just that because Pro Wrestling Ohio's ropes always seem to be a little loose to me. Like, I don't know if I just wonder if some of those teams come there and like, man, we are not used to them being quite this loose.
Right.
And it kind of fucks up their timing. So I don't know because I've just seen them blow a decent chunk of spots. Even though that they're physically capable of doing some of this stuff, but you know, when you're doing that stuff, you don't have much room for error. Like on a slam, you can kind of have a guy a little bit crooked, and you're not going to think anything twice about it. But when you kind of airball on a head scissors takeover, you're like, a guy's not going to flip over and fall on his back if you're like missing with one of your legs.
Yeah, and maybe I am focusing more on their interviews because I've really, and like I said, these last few interviews they've kept short, but they've shown really good energy and more personality than I recall seeing from them in the past. So, you know, here are four teams that I guess it seems unlikely to me that the Homeless Handicap Connection would regain the titles. They've kind of been out of the picture a little bit. Greg Iron did a pretty convincing job to Brody Lee recently on PWO television. But, the Hobo Joe has a following. That there's people that like him. But, again, I think that Brian Castle might, you know, be the character that has a little more, you know, new appeal to the fans right now than those guys. So I think if they went with a babyface team, they might go with those guys. I think it's your turn to predict first, Kevin, so I'll let you predict, and then I'll follow suit, I suppose, unless there's something we left out in the build-up here.
Well, you know, to me, I think that they've really kind of built up Aeriform. So it seems like the bigger storyline has been the Michigan versus Michigan, which Aeriform trains in the East Lansing Dojo, which I guess that could have been mentioned earlier there.
Yeah.
So, I would have to say that it's going to come down to Aeriform and the Sons of Michigan. And I'm going with Aeriform so that they can go babyface with those titles.
Yeah, and I actually was going to predict the same thing. I prefer Michigan to Michigan State. You know, the Sons of Michigan obviously make all these Wolverine references and stuff. And I think they've been really good tag team champions, and I enjoy seeing them in that position. And hopefully, if nothing else, they'll get some sets of rematches next season early on. But I agree. I think that this is a going to be a babyface heavy show, and therefore, I think that Aeroform will win the title.
Yeah, well, I think another good reason is that even if the Sons of Michigan end up losing their rematches come next season, they out of all four of these teams, I think they're a little bit better off as individuals.
No, that's true.
I think they can absorb that kind of a loss more readily than the other teams.
Well, currently. And theoretically, again, they're going to have some challengers to the title next year. If Bobby Beverly does win, I could see him being someone they build up, but I could see either one of these guys, being at least in a challenging role for the title next season as well. So that's a good point. They're probably the team that, in a way, might need the belts the least. I mean, they're established and really well thought of by the fans now, I think. At least in my case, they are. So, yeah, I think Aeroform's the pick.
All righty. Our other four-way match, which, I guess when I was talking to Aaron yesterday, I tried to break these things up a little bit more. we got the. It's just a four-way match, no elimination style. We have the TV champion Bobby Beverly against Michael Fassad, Jason Gorey, and Shima Zion.
Which, as Mr. McGuire correctly pointed out, why I guess TNA just doesn't want them to have the exact same name, but it sounds so much worse in TNA. I mean,
yeah, Zima Ion.
Zima Ion. I mean,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's silly. And he's been really good. This will be a very good match. I will say, just from my perspective as a fan, it really makes a lot of sense that the four-way match in a tag team is elimination style, and this one should be the same way to make the TV title a little better. When you have Aaron McGuire saying that Bobby Beverly's being treated unfairly from a storyline perspective as the heel champion, and he actually is, that's a bit of a booking hole. And I suppose that they have to keep this thing to 3 hours for the internet pay-per-view. I don't know, and that might be why this is a one-fall match. But I like the fact that the other match is an elimination match, and it would be nice if this one was as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've had a long-standing problem with any match, honestly, involving more than two persons or two teams. I think it was back in ECW when they never – I don't think they ever had, at least a three-way match that wasn't elimination style. I'm like,
right.
You know, this just makes sense. Like, I'm sorry, like – and I know that, just having a four-way match, you can kind of get away with different stuff storyline-wise, and that's probably why most people do that.
Well, and people don't have jobs. I mean, but I don't think that's a big problem in this company. I would hope not.
Oh, well, yeah. But I guess just booking-wise, and with as simple as they keep it, yeah. I don't know why it is an elimination match either. It really should be.
Fassad had a nice interview recently on PWO TV. Sometimes his character's been a little, unsteady, in my opinion. And his most recent interview I thought was very strong. So he's coming along really well. Bobby Beverly is, again, I think all the members of Sex Appeal are talented in their own way. We'll talk about Nikki Valentino here in a minute. But, he's been a good champion and done a good job. And Shima Zion, I think, is very deserving in a TNA contract and has done a really, really good job. All that being said, getting back to what I said earlier in the audio, just this idea that Crimson Stable, McGuire mentioned it, the Death Society, I forget what it's called exactly, but there was this idea that it's going to be taking over things. I get the impression that Gory wins the TV title. My personal opinion, I don't think he's a bad wrestler, but I think out of the four, I would probably rate him the lowest just in terms of you know, who I think would be deserving of having the TV title, just from what I've seen on television. But nonetheless, that's my prediction, is that he wins the TV title and we get this impression that Crimson and his followers are unstoppable and taking over PWO. So that's my prediction. And I'm going to guess that he beats Shima Zion, just because he is leaving for TNA, and that gives Bobby Beverly a natural reason to challenge back for the title.
Yeah, no, I cannot disagree with that, because then you also have, Beverly can come back and ask for rematches, and since Gory is the heel, you can always have Mike Sod fight him, and they haven't really fought that much. So, and there should be some decent chemistry in this match. I believe that, Facade and Zion had a feud last year, so they've been in the ring together. Beverly, to me, has really stepped it up in the ring and on the mic this year, along with Shima Zion, honestly.
Yeah.
So those two, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing them, what they can do in the ring together.
And I did also like Shima Zion's recent interview, where he didn't talk about TNA or anything like that. He talked about how he was finally getting to wrestle at Resolution and what a big deal that was for him, and really, you know, putting over the importance of PWO and the and that their version of WrestleMania. So I you know, he's done well. No, again, I'm not trying to slam on Gory, who I think has some talent, but I've been really impressed. Probably Beverly first, Zion second, and Facade third, in terms of just how they've all done some nice work this year in a number of different ways.
Yeah, I think Facade's really – I think part of his problem is it that one kind of goes to I talk about it, I guess, a lot for our WWE shows, which he doesn't seem to get enough mic time. And I guess that's maybe something that happened with Arrow for him that kind of helped out. Since they weren't wrestling, they gave them mic time. And it seemed like they, got better at it as things went along. And Facade just really hasn't had that many interviews, honestly.
Yeah, and again,
so,
I like how they build up these shows. I mean, they give most people a chance to talk, and I did think Facade had a good interview. I watched like 5 hours of PWO TV last night to prepare for this. I'm sorry I've been out of town. I've been missing shows. So I don't recall what episode it was on, but he gave a nice interview in the last few weeks on PWO TV. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no, I think it was what I would have listed is episode 21. I believe it was the show from a couple weeks ago.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And, he did a really good job. I was like, and he didn't seem to screw around or do anything funky. He just kind of went in there and did it. I really did. I dug that more than any of his other interviews.
Yeah, because he's always kind of this freewheeling, and it's fine to paint your name on the sign and all that, but it just kind of, not serious enough in some of his earlier interviews. And I like this one a lot.
Hinky dokey. Well, I don't know. Do we need to do a little bit on Gory? Because he's kind of, he's had little promos, but that's another one that I think part of their problem with some of these newer guys, they wouldn't have had the one show canceled. They maybe would have been able to. I think I looked at my thing from last year. I think they had 28 episodes, and they only had 22 this year.
Okay, yeah.
So they're missing
out
on shows.
Well, as a follower of Crimson, he's going to be limited in how much they're going to let him say, too. So.
Well, and not even just how much he said, but, I mean, I think he could have maybe been in, even if he was in another two matches or something like that, it really would have, to me, it would have helped out his character some, because we just haven't seen him in the ring all that much either.
Yeah. But are you with me on the prediction for Gorey to win the belt? I thought you were, but
no, definitely, yeah. Because you've really got to with how they've been pushing the, I think it's Dead Wrestling Society.
That's
you can't really, you've got to have the undercard guys going, or else it's like, oh, okay, whatever. The main event's not a big deal.
No.
You know, like even well, and I guess we can get to that later. Even if my prediction's going to be against that, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, we're following it pretty seriously.
I think we
sure.
agree on a lot of these things, and they may mix us up. But I've never, again, the reason I watch this show is even predictable. Some Vince Russo, predictable's not bad. I mean, if the storyline leads up to something and it makes sense and it adds intrigue to the future matches, it's fine if people can kind of predict what's going to happen. And if everything continues to coherently piece together, I mean, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. So, again, from a wrestling perspective, I'd probably keep the belt where it is, but, yeah, we're in agreement on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
Are we ready to go along then?
Yes, sirree.
This next match to me, and I don't know if you agree or not, Kevin, to me it's the main event of the card. To me it's the reason that, you know, I'm traveling quite a long distance to go to this event, knowing or being very confident that, you know, last year's Gargano cross match was very good, and that I get to see something at a really high caliber in front. You know, we're going to have great seats, obviously, in a really nice setting. And this is the full circle three-way dance with Johnny Gargano, Josh Prohibition, who, again, I didn't follow as much except for the retrospective shows that they've done on PWO, and M-Dog 20 Matt Cross in a three-way dance, you know, for bragging rights. The first three, I guess, or three of the first PWO champions, that have all been in main events of Resolution.
Yeah, no, they are all three in some order. The first three champions, Cross was first, Prohibition second, Gargano third, and yeah, in one form or another, they were in the main events. One was Cross and Prohibition. Two was Prohibition and Gargano, and then three last year was Cross and Gargano. So. Yeah, it's hard to go wrong with this one because to me it cracked me up the most. The thing that cracked me up the most with Cross doing the Keller commentary, and forgive my Pittsburgh hickeys there with the way I say C-O-L-O-R, but Matt Cross was on there. He's like, oh, I'm going to prove that, you know, I'm great at Resolution. And it's just like, no one ever said you're a bad wrestler. He's an extremely good wrestler. I definitely do not think that is part of the package problem that they were talking about.
Yeah, and all three of these guys have been killing interviews leading up to this thing. I mean, in my opinion, Matt Cross's interviews have been the best I've ever seen him do. Because even last year as the lead challenger to Johnny Gargano, he'd do some good interviews, but sometimes you just kind of see him thinking about things too much and not really feeling his character. This was my personal opinion. And I really liked his character. I really, you know, as me as kind of a longtime fan of, you know, my first favorite wrestlers were the Freebirds, not the Von Erichs. You know, I've always been, just from a fan watching the match perspective, wanting to see Matt Cross do well, and no different here. But these interviews he's been doing to build up to this thing, talking about his frustrations on Tough Enough and not being taken as seriously as he should have been. And I really did, you know, I didn't understand with some of the jokers they had in that show why they didn't give him a few more weeks on Tough Enough. I mean, but you don't know, I guess. You just watch from the fans' perspective. But he's really stepped it up. And Gargano, in my opinion, some of his previous interviews have been a little bit too much of I'm impressed with myself and I'm so funny and I'm so clever. And these have been more serious, you know, sports sports like promos, which I really like. And this prohibition, you can see why they built around him at first, because his whole thing about didn't you used to be Josh Prohibition and wanting to come back with a vengeance. All three of these guys have done really well, but I'd say Cross has had the best interviews of the three, which is surprising, as you said, given their past reputation.
Yeah, and I kind of bagged on him for the Keller commentary, but that really, to me, was the only bad stuff that he's done. So, and it wasn't even that terrible. I think it was just that one comment. It's just like, okay, like, I think you're getting what it is because you have been knocking these interviews out of the park. So, and I don't know if I'd say one's been better than the other, honestly. Like, I think Gargano, starting last year, when it was revealed that Matt Cross was behind the attacks that caused him to become a locker room pariah, I think he's gotten more serious since then, because I always said that he kind of had too much of a John Cena attitude to him.
Yeah, that's that's right.
Yeah, so I think that starting sometime mid to late last year, he really started to step it up. And I don't think this year's been any different. Like, it seems to me like he has certainly taken his time and evolved and Dragon Gate USA and put it to good use.
No, and these guys can all I have not seen Prohibition much except for what they've shown recently on PWO TV, but from what I can tell, I mean, these guys are all very strong performers in the ring. And, again, I think if you go to the PWO website, if you've never watched their TV show and look them up on YouTube, you can kind of see the buildup to this match. I believe they put all their TV shows on the web.
Yes.
And, I mean, these interviews, if you watch them and you kind of follow this, you have to invest some time to follow the storyline, but again, it's not really hard to follow. I mean, it's a very logical storyline. Prohibition, Gargano was his kind of second guy, and he helped both those guys get into the pro wrestling business to some degree, I guess, at least from PWO storyline perspective. Matt Cross has been at this for some time, and it's a really well-built story, and if you listen to these guys' interviews, whether they're the heel or the face, they do a good job of making you watch that and think, yeah, this is the guy I should be rooting for. I mean, they have a justifiable position in their own mind, and they really, you know, want to win. And the thing I did like about Matt Cross was on the color talking about how he, you know, wanted to prove he was the best of the guys and he didn't need to do anything, you know, really unfair to do that. I mean, he really wanted to, and he stood up to the Masked Man, you know, when Prohibition and Gargano were going at it there, and was, I mean, he's a tough character to follow exactly, in terms of being a straight heel. I mean, he's kind of more of a heel than a face, but, you know, there's some shades of gray there, which I like.
Yeah, no, they haven't really had too much time to recast him, because by the time he came back, they started this storyline, so kind of new development and how that, you know, it makes sense why he's in the match, but to kind of tweak his character is, it would have been tough, let's say.
Yeah, yeah.
But
there is an interview with him on YouTube on a Cleveland TV station, I believe, about 8 minutes that I watched earlier today, I think. It might have been, I don't think you all linked on Stunt Green. It might have been linked on the Torch website. But if I can find it, I'll send it to you. Maybe we can include it with the audio here, because it's more of a interview with a sports reporter, but very good, talking about the things that he felt like he didn't get as good of a shake as he should have at Tough Enough.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, when you mentioned that he shouldn't have been gone that early, I was like, seriously? But I think Jeremy and I talked about that episode, and we kind of felt like they felt like they needed a shock, like anything can happen on this show.
Yeah.
And he, unfortunately, was a part of the oh, let's add some shock value to this. The big popular guy that's been wrestling for X number of years is going to get axed right now because, you know, I don't know. I guess I never felt like they were going to pick him anyway, and now kind of knowing more of the history there with Andy already being on the FCW roster,
yeah,
it makes even more sense that someone like Cross probably wasn't going to get picked unless he really blew them out of the water.
Yeah,
because
I just don't think that was very legitimate. I mean, it's very easy on these reality shows to edit characters so they can look exactly as you want them to look, and that's what happened there.
Yeah, no, that's definitely another problem with those shows. It's just like, you know, you can't get a good gauge on it, and they can have an agenda that doesn't really match up.
But anyway, as I mentioned, I'm more excited about this match than any other. It's the main reason I'm attending the show, and I guess I don't know whose turn it is to go first on the prediction.
Have at it.
Okay, well, I'm going to pick Matt Cross. You know, Gargano is spending less time with the company now. I think, you know, a lot of cases they do go with the baby face, but I could see Matt Cross being more of a full-timer with PWO next year. It'd be great if he got a national break. But I'm, you know, with Prohibition coming back, I question whether he's coming back full-time. And to me, you know, again, Matt Cross is my favorite wrestler on PWO. I really enjoy watching his stuff and his matches, and I thought it was an excellent match last year with he and Gargano at Resolution 3. And if I was going to build with somebody that could challenge a face or a heel champion, Matt Cross would be my guy. And so that's I may be picking just from what I want to see happen, but that's my prediction is Matt Cross. Although Prohibition's 0-2 at Resolution, Cross is 1-1, and Gargano's 2-0. So I don't know how that all
fits. He's actually 2-1.
Oh,
yeah, he lost Gregory Iron at the first Resolution.
Thank you very much. I in the main event, he's 2-0. Let me rephrase.
Yes, and, that is true.
So, but I'm picking Matt Cross. What say you, Kevin?
You know, I can't fault your logic for the most part there. You know, to me, and I guess it's another thing, it kind of goes back to the whole personality thing with Cross, and I guess it sounds like I'm being harsh, but it just, to me, it seems like a reality kind of a thing. He went on tour with Hogan in Australia. If they wanted more X Division wrestlers, and they've, you know, given Zema Ion a chance, I'm not sure why they didn't feel like Cross would be a guy to bring in, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
And then just with the number of people, and maybe the WWE is just being stingy with their contracts this time around with Tough Enough, but seems like any of their shows, they've pretty much handed out contracts like candy after they got done with it. So I'm not sure why Cross, you know, and I guess that's another one. It's just like, okay, if they did do it just for shock value, I guess, to me, why wouldn't they just go ahead and re-sign him at some juncture?
Yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, I think it was Wade or Bruce Mitchell or somebody said, this deferential attitude is actually what WWF wants. You know, if you look at the way they treat, I mean, they don't want people breaking out. This Jeremiah Riggs did an interview about that recently, about how they're trying to take all his individual character out of him in FCW, and that's why he's not there. So, that he'd get a shot. I'm surprised he hasn't. He talked in the interview like there's still some things in the works possibly, but, you know, that's kind of what he's supposed to say. So I don't know how much you want to think about that.
Yeah, no, and I think that's what makes it tough to predict this match is because I guess I still, you know, could think that he could be doing something else. As you pointed out, Gargano's did less with this company this year than any other year. In Prohibition, yeah, you're not sure if he's back full-time. So it's kind of like, okay, And Cross really does seem like the guy right now that has the most reason to stick around and to win the match, honestly. But I guess there is the one factor that is the masked man.
Yeah.
So we'll see if he factors in. If he factors in, then, maybe Prohibition wins and he finally gets off the schneid at Resolution.
Now, Aaron McGuire said in his interview with you he didn't know who that was. And I'm trying to recall, I mean, the storyline was when Gargano lost the belt in that what turned out to be a three-way match, that he paid off Matt Cross to not show up for the match. And I thought that he had something to do with the Masked Man, but I guess not. Because I think Mr. McGuire would keep very good track of his storyline, I mean his managing record, excuse me, where if he would have hired this guy, he would have remembered it. So I guess it was Josh Prohibition behind the Masked Man the entire time. And any guesses
yes.
to who that is? Because I really have no idea, but you're more of a PWO historian than I am.
I have no idea who that could be because they brought Jimmy DeMarco back a couple of times. And I don't know if they try to bring him back a third time because I think he might have beat someone. He might have beat Gargano down at some juncture. And then all of a sudden I think that was part of the storyline last year. Like, he's come and gone twice, and he's just been like a blip on the radar. So it's really kind of strange, to say the least.
You think back to the most infamous Masked Man I can remember in the last 15 years, which was Brutus Beefcake coming back to shock everybody and turn on Hulk Hogan, even though it had been Arn Anderson jumping him in the previous matches. So maybe this is someone currently on the roster who's a supposed friend of Johnny Gargano's. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that could be interesting if we get a reveal for that, and that could lead to a storyline next year. Or they just bring the Masked Man out and they did figure out who it is come next season.
Yep. So who's your picture?
I'm going to go with Cross.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he still seems, to me, like, he seems like the most logical guy to go with in that situation still.
And again, this will be one I'll really be into as a fan and rooting for Matt Cross very strongly. So be prepared; you'll be sitting next to me.
Well, I don't root very much, so you can be vocal for both of us.
Well, we had quite a time at that show in Iowa being idiot fans. So in this match, I'd be an idiot fan.
Yeah, I guess that might be something that would help me. Well, of course, we weren't too idiot there when we were at WrestleMania. But I guess I don't have too many people. I've been going to most of these shows by myself, so it's kind of like, you know, at least when you have a crowd or at least someone else, you don't feel as bad about being an idiot.
Absolutely. Yeah, Eric really encouraged that with me, and he did a good job of encouraging my inner idiot. So there you go.
Outstanding. Well, speaking of someone with an inner idiot, Nikki Valentino, Mr. Late Night, is Mr. Old School. Is taking on, Tito Santana, who looks like they put up a picture from
86.
I was going to say 85.
Yeah.
But 86 is good. That works also.
This looks like a WrestleMania picture that they just reissued and put on Resolution's website. But the picture of Mr. Valentino is with his Zubaz and his fanny pack and all that. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, the Zubaz-inspired wrestling trunks are outstanding.
Funny storyline here. Got off to a bit of a rough start. I think you mentioned on your review that his interaction with Greg Valentine, where he was insulting him and saying, "I'm old school, you're just old," was one of his weakest moments on camera I've recalled seeing, because at times he's shown really good presence on camera. But for whatever reason, everybody involved in that seemed to be a little nervous or not on top of their game or something. But over the few weeks, this has built up pretty nicely to a big grudge match between I guess Tito Santana fighting for the pride of Greg Valentine and the old school wrestlers against old school Nikki Valentino.
Yeah, and they've tried to get Valentine on the card a couple of times, and it has not worked out very well. So, yeah, I don't know if Santana is younger or not, but hopefully he can make it to the card okay.
Yeah, and again, there's not much as far as the wrestling for this goes because we haven't seen Santana. So I think we can probably, not to underlie it, but I think we can probably just make our predictions on this one.
And I haven't seen one of these matches. They've had them, I think, at all of the Resolutions. And the Pro Wrestling Ohio star has not won any of them so far. And I don't see any reason for that streak to be broken this year. So I'm going with my good buddy who used to do the Flying Burrito, Tito Santana.
Yeah, again, some slightly politically incorrect but very funny interaction with Aaron McGuire on this, on his interview that you did with him. You know, this would not be the same type thing, but, you know, Jason Bayne did beat Raven last year, although you're talking more of the Jim Duggan Fontaine match, and the really, you know, they've had Valentine, I guess, and Beefcake wrestle tag matches at this show before too. You know, this is maybe a little crazy, but to me, you know, the I'm just thinking back to being a fan in the mid '80s and the brutal feud between Greg Valentine and Tito Santana, and why not have this entire thing be a ruse by Greg Valentine to sucker in his old enemy, Tito Santana, and then have him face the shame and humiliation of losing to Nikki Valentino. So I wouldn't take this one to Vegas, but I'm going to pick Valentino to win after Greg Valentine turns on Tito Santana.
that would be outstanding if that ends up happening. Well, since you did talk about the man who took on Raven last year, Jason Bayne, we can move on to the No DQ PWO Championship match with Bayne defending against Crimson. And, well, we've already talked about the Dead Wrestling Society and how we believe that they will have two wins coming into this match. Is it going to be a third?
I don't see it happening. They have built Jason Bayne into being the most dominant man in PWO, the dominant champion. You know, it was. I guess they didn't want him to beat Gargano because the reign of Marion Fontaine was so short, and Jason Bayne beat him, you know, in a reasonably competitive match, but not an overly competitive match. In my opinion, Bayne has improved his wrestling this year, and I looked at a video of him from a few years ago. He's in much better shape than he was starting out in PWO. I don't put him at the class of wrestler as Johnny Gargano or Prohibition or Cross, which, you know, again, my preference is to see those type of guys at the top of the card, but I think they don't know whether they have those guys long-term or not. Jason Bayne's been very steadily with PWO, and again, I think he's really improved this year. Crimson's been on a year and a half to 2 year undefeated streak, I guess, and you know, they've built this up to be a big deal, but I do not see Jason Bayne losing. Resolution's kind of like WrestleMania. A lot of times the fans go home happy, and I predict Jason Bayne, and from what you've been saying, I think we see things building in the same way for this card.
You can't build up the intrigue without having the two underlings win. And, you know, to me, it seems like it'd be nice to have a PWO champion that maybe has a little bit longer of a reign. And right now, he's Bayne has kind of had a bit of a short reign.
Right.
So I don't see any reason to discontinue it at this point. Crimson can recover from it, and with it only being his first loss, he can I guess this is one question that I asked McGuire there in the interview is do you think there's going to be any help for Jason Bayne? Like it's almost got to be, you know, a no-brainer that Kirst and Jason Gorey come out to help Crimson at some juncture of a no-DQ match, even though it would make sense to do it from the beginning. Does Bane have some backup possibly in store?
I would suspect that he would. I don't know who that could be. I mean, they had Raven in earlier this season, but I got the impression he kind of, I don't know, that maybe he made himself to be a bigger part of the show than they wanted. So I could see that, but I think it'd probably be someone, Johnny Gargano, Homeless Handicap Connection, somebody, one of the, you know, the real baby faces of PWO coming out to help Bane. That would be my prediction. He may do it all by himself. I mean, they've really built him up to being the old style Hulk Hogan unbeatable champion, and maybe he smokes all three of them. But you know, Crimson's done such good work on his interviews building this thing up, and he's been such a credible threat. I don't think you have Jason Bane beat him and destroy his followers all by himself in this match. So I would think that he'd have some backup, but I couldn't. Maybe you could give a better guess of who that might be.
Yeah, no, I mean, that sounds as good as anybody, honestly, like, because they haven't really had, there's no one, I mean, I guess if Facade ended up losing to Gorey through some trickery in the TV title match, he'd have some reason to come out.
Yeah, I just don't see Corey Winters in that spot.
Yeah, if Corey Winters loses, how does he come out and, I mean, I guess he'd come out and help save face later, but it still seems a little weird.
Yeah, but I think he will have help.
Cool. So, yeah, well, with both of us leaning towards Bane and us probably leaning over the hour mark with this thing, let's truck on down to Big Brody Lee and Marion Fontaine taking on Aaron Draven and Big Sexy, Diesel, whatever nicknames you want to throw up there, Kevin Nash, and our not-so-good buddy Justin Labar from some website that I refuse to mention.
Which currently has almost no mention of PWO on that said website that you can find, which is odd
because
they build them up on their TV so much. That guy's done some really meaningless interviews building this thing up that don't really go anywhere and aren't very entertaining, in my opinion. Sadly for his team, as many guys have really been knocking the ball out of the park on interviews, building this thing up, Aaron Draven has not. He's a good wrestler, but his interviews building this thing up, in my opinion, I think reading your TV reports, you agree, have not been particularly strong. And the hype that Kevin Nash has contributed to this show has been zero, which is really disappointing. I don't know whether it costs more for him to tape an interview and send it in or what, but I don't know if you've followed the great promos thread on Bruce Mitchell's own, but if you see the interview he did building up this tag match against Ricky Morton and some other guy that he did about some show in West Virginia October 15th.
No, I haven't.
It's one of the best interviews I've seen, you know, in the last couple of years. I mean,
wow.
It really makes you want to go see this match, and he's talking trash about Ricky Morton and how Ricky Morton's girlfriend always wanted to be with him and whatever, and it's a killer interview. I mean, it is like, you're just like, damn, that's really something. And we'll possibly, maybe that would be the thing that we would link to here, because you know, again, I don't know what the deal is, but, and I know I don't think Hacksaw Duggan did interviews last year leading up to Resolution, but this is the main freaking event, and he's the guy that people are going to go see. I mean, they're having this whole pre-party with him, which we're going to. I think it'll be fun and all that. I don't know whether it's him not willing to do it or they dropped the ball, but it really takes away from this match that you've got this other guy, Justin Labar, trying to talk about how Kevin Nash is coming in and Aaron Draven's, neither one of them are doing a very good job of it, and Kevin Nash could really, I'm confident, do a great interview building up this match. Certainly Brody Lee's done a good job. Marion Fontaine's done a pretty good job. But the face side, there's no buildup, and I understand why it's the main event and the last thing on, but gosh, this thing could have been a lot better with just a 2-minute interview that Kevin Nash taped and sent in to PWO TV, in my opinion. I really think it's taken away from the main event, because this whole Fontaine-Labar thing to me is about as interesting as watching paint dry.
Yeah, no, there isn't too much to the issue. And, well, part of the problem with Draven has been the fact that the dude hasn't been around most of the season. He's been another one who was on very early and then skipped, you know, a good portion of the season and then came back, honestly, out of the blue. And I think he's only had one promo. He just, over the years, he just has never felt comfortable to me in front of the camera when he's not wrestling. Like, for a high flyer to me, I think he is their best high flyer in the company.
Yeah. No, he's a good wrestler. And, I mean, if they said, Aaron, we need you to go to wherever the hell Kevin Nash lives, and you know, I know it's a long way to go, but can you work it out where you go over there and stand next to him while he cuts this interview? I think he would have done it, you know?
Yeah, well, and Kevin Nash, I'm sure, could have helped him out, you know, to be a little more animated at a minimum.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I don't know how much we need to say about this. I think it's fairly obvious that Aaron Draven and Kevin Nash are going to win the match. Although, I'll tell you this,
really?
They've done a really good job building up Brody Lee. They've done a really good job building up Brody Lee, much better than Ring of Honor, in my opinion, has done in the limited times I've seen him wrestle there, as far as being this true big guy that doesn't get taken off his feet.
And they certainly have the roster to help that out. And I think this goes back a little bit to the Pro Wrestling Ohio championship match there with Bane and Crimson. There aren't a whole lot of big guys in the company. Like, the good wrestlers, Gargano, Prohibition, and Cross aren't exactly big dudes.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's only so many big guys. So, I mean, it helps to have someone who's, I think they're saying they're 6'9", 300 pounds or something like that. I mean, when your better wrestlers are maybe 6'1 or 6'2, and you have a guy at 6'9 in the company, you know, it's not like there's some intermediate person in there like a Randy Orton at 6'6. Or, you know, someone you're like, oh, okay, they're not that tall.
Right.
Brody Lee can really just mow over anybody, and you don't think twice about it, honestly. And, I mean, he had a pretty good match going with Gargano there at the end of their last episode.
Yeah, he did.
Of the season.
The masked man interfered. I believe that. Isn't that what happened?
Yes.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised that he – well, I wasn't surprised, but I was curious whether he'd win more clean than that in this build-up, but I thought that was fun. No, it was a good match. It was a good match, and he's looked good. I mean, but do you agree with me that this is kind of a foregone conclusion? Or?
Yeah. There's no way Kevin Nash jobs to anybody. So.
Well, nor should he. I'm sorry. I mean.
No, he shouldn't. Like,
I mean,
he's,
I know
they've
been trying to build up Marion Fontaine for the longest time, but it just, you know, no, he shouldn't be driving to those guys.
Yeah, well, and just, what the fuck did I completely lost track of what the fuck I wanted to say. Yeah, well, fuck it.
Sorry, I talk too much sometimes, but,
Yeah, no, I mean, he shouldn't job to anyone. Fontaine hasn't beat anybody really in the scheme of things because he got help in winning the PWO championship from the Masked Man. And Brody Lee, even though they've done a good job of building him up, for all we know, he's, you know, here and gone. Oh, that's what I wanted to say, is that Kevin Nash, within the last calendar year, has been on TNA TV, and he got a monstrous response at the beginning of the year coming out for the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. I mean, it isn't even close. Like, I could have loved Tito Santana as much as I want in my childhood, but he is not going to be the draw that someone like Kevin Nash is. So,
no, and I guess they're having pretty good luck on ticket sales, because if you really listen to the PWO TV show, at one point, Joe Dombrowski, I think it was, said you can get in for as little as $10. And now they're saying minimum price is $15. So they're not going to do that unless they really – which, I mean, God bless them. I hope they make good money on this thing. But they're not going to do that unless they really think there's going to be sufficient demand, because that's a big stadium where they're having this thing. You'd almost think they'd have, like, a cheap section for people or something. I don't know.
Well, now I was going to say, if that's the cheapest place, that's probably the bleachers. I mean, it's not that big. It's kind of big, but it's not huge.
I mean, how many people do you think that holds? You've been to the Cards there.
I wouldn't say more than 3,000.
Right, but they've never sold it out in the past. I mean,
no, the second year was worse than the third year, and I've got a good feeling that this year is going to be even more crowded.
Well, I hope so. Like I said, I enjoy the product. I hope they do well.
So, yeah, and I used to go to concerts up there all the time. That's why they keep on saying it's Nautica, because people refuse to call it anything else. Like, no matter who owns it, because I think it had a different name last year, too.
Okay.
It's like, whatever, it's Nautica. Just go to Nautica. I don't know how many concerts I attended up there, but it was definitely more than a couple of handfuls. So, it's a fun venue, but make sure not to dress too warm, because we're going to be roasting our balls off outside.
I will bring shorts. Be ready.
Oh, man. Well, I think we've talked for long enough now. So I am going to go grab a sippy time beer, and what the hell, you can sign us out.
All right, for Kevin DeFrango, PWO expert extraordinaire, and the rest of the Stunt Granny crew, this is Dan Keister, pleased to be on the air, and we'll continue to try to do better in the future.